Thank you for listening to Youth Summit. Youth Summit is made possible by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. The views and opinions of this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or board of directors of 89.9 KMOJ. Now, here's your host, Julia Tolles.
Good afternoon, Minneapolis. Oh my gosh, I got it right. I was prepping myself to not say good morning, so I'm super excited. We have a little bit of rain, but it's still really nice outside as compared to yesterday where the humidity was ridiculous. But it was still a fun day. I can't really complain because I've been praying for summer, and now summer is finally here. So just, you know, stay fit. Try to get as much air as possible and enjoy and be active. I do have the team with me, the panel. Mm-hmm. I have Miss Brianna. How are you doing?
I'm fine. It's pretty behind the rain out there. And I like the heat, so yesterday was a perfect day for me.
Yeah, Brianna's different, y'all. Brianna, she likes the storms. She likes humidity. Storms. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dijon, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Just been enjoying myself. I only got like 1 month before I have to go to school. You know, I'm forced to go back, finish my last senior year. So I'm just trying to have fun before I have to go back and eat those nasty school lunches and, you know, everything else. But it's been cool. Cool summer.
That's super awesome. I feel like a proud mama. I met you when you were like in 10th grade?
Yeah. Yep, yeah. You did.
And now he's about to be a senior. How awesome is that?
That's crazy. I've been with Julia for a while.
Yes. And then we have Kwame over here.
What's up, y'all?
What's up?
He's rocking the authentic Liberian gold seal right now.
Yeah, I am. Borrowed this off of a man who was walking down the block and happened to have it shining real nice. So I figured I could just use that for a while.
He did not borrow it off of anybody.
Whatever.
But yeah, the Liberian seal, because yesterday it was Liberians Independence Day. Woot woot. Okay, yes, so we're super sad. To all my Liberian folks, happy 26. What did you do, Kwame?
Actually, I hosted an event for some Cameroonians.
Okay.
So I was getting paid to entertain them for a while. That was actually taking place out on some boulevard. I forget. Okay. But it was open till 5 a.m.
Oh, wow.
And,
like true Africans.
Yeah. They were turning up. And it was supposed to start at 9. Started at midnight.
Yeah, definitely. definitely.
Typical.
Yeah. So. But I'm sure the music was on point, though.
Oh, most definitely. Music was on point. The attire and the food was on point as well.
Why did I not get an invitation? I would have loved to just come and eat. I wouldn't even dance. I would have just sat there in the corner with like four plates. Eight.
I apologize. I put it on Twitter and Instagram, so people sometimes get angry at me for not sending out personal invites, and that's a lot. So Facebook usually does a good job of relaying that message for me.
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
How about you?
I went to Valley Fair yesterday.
Ooh, okay.
So it was fun, and, you know, I was brave. I went, I was like, I'm going to go in there, go big, or go home. So I got on the biggest roller coaster first, got that over with. That first drop, though. Whew, but once I got on that, everything else seemed like cake.
Mm-hmm. That's what she said.
Everything else seems like cake. But, you know, however, I don't know. I'm kind of like, Valley Fair needs more, like, rides. Like, yeah. Compared to, like, Six Flags, there's, like, a zillion different rides.
Great
they
America.
Need more fairs. But then again, at the same time, I like the fact that you don't have to wait in line for an hour. Maybe, like, 20, 30 minutes max.
Why? Why didn't you have to wait?
I mean, because it wasn't a lot of people there, number one. And then I think because the rides are a lot shorter, their rides are pretty fast with the way it goes. Then I remember, like, Six Flags, I think. So they're kind of shorter, so you don't really have to stand in line that much.
Sounds like something I need to go to.
Yeah. You've never been?
I haven't been to Valley Fair since high school.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What about you, Dijon?
I think I haven't been there in like a year or two. Maybe eighth grade, middle school. I'm a senior now, so I think it's been some time when I went to Valley Fair. But I don't know, Six Flags, I just went in Chicago, and it was the greatest thing ever to me. I think it's way better than Valley Fair.
It's a lot bigger, though.
Yeah, it's a lot more rides. It's huger. I feel like their rides are scarier. Minnesota's rides, it's like the drops. The drops get you, you know. Every time I go to a music park, I try to warm up to something. I get on something that's not crazy, crazy, but it prepares me for the next ride, you know, before I have a heart attack or something. My aunties, they just look at me like, boy, I'm not getting on that. You better go with your cousin or something. But it was a fun time, though.
Yeah, Six Flags rides, like, Six Flags rides are, whew, I'm not as brave as I was at Valley Fair, I'm not going to lie. Six Flags rides will have you, like, asking yourself why. Why would you torture yourself like this? Yeah. But after that, I went to, we went to this cigar place. I mean, I don't smoke cigars, but.
Was it in St. Paul?
It was in Uptown. It was pretty nice, actually. Hmm. It was pretty chill. I was really surprised because, you know, I feel like they don't have a lot of good hookah places here as compared to, like, Chicago, New York, or D.C. So I wasn't expecting the cigar lounge to be, like, cool. But it was pretty dope.
Hmm. Never
that was
that.
In Uptown. And then we went to Stella's. And then from Stella's, we went to Seven. So it
Love
was
Seven.
A very fun-filled night.
Enjoy. You had a full night.
Yeah, very full.
Sounds like you spent a lot of money, too.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't really have to spend that much. I didn't really have to spend
Baller.
Money. No, I didn't have to spend money. So
she got friends. those popular connections.
She know
I
a friend.
Yeah.
Know a friend.
There was a lot going on yesterday. I was able to make it over to Carrie Fest, which I love Carrie Fest. Do y'all know what that is?
No.
No, it sounds like Carrie Hilson or something like that.
No, Caribbean Festival. There is a large Caribbean population here in the Twin Cities.
So there was food. Is there one today?
I don't know if it's today. I know it was Friday and I know it was Saturday. We could look up on carriefest.org and
That's
see if
nice.
It's still going on. But it was right off and down by the Mississippi, on the north side technically still. And they had this music and there was food. Somebody was selling mangoes on a stick for $5. And I was just like, y'all buying these?
And they were buying them?
People were buying them. I'm like, you can go down to Cub, get this same mango for
$2. Oh, no.
But, but it was pretty cool. The music was cool. They did this, I forgot what it was called, but it was like this charge where you like, you start running, you run in place, mm-hmm. and then like you go, they point to the left, and everybody runs to the left. You point to the right, everybody runs to
it's
the
It's a song.
Right.
Is it blah,
like that.
Yes, my friends, yes.
You did a wonderful job with that. Can you do that again?
My friend's wedding 3 weeks ago, and they played that song. Yo, like, we, first of all, I danced for 4 hours straight at that reception. And then they played that. We danced to that song for, like, a good solid 10 minutes. A workout.
Yep.
Like, we got it in, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep, I got a workout. Yes, I, like, for real got a workout yesterday. So I went to the Lil' Carrie Fest, and I went to my friend's, like, kickback at her house. It was a girls' night, and people had their kids there. Well, there was, like, two kids there. And we ended up doing, like, sit-ups on the floor for whatever. We were sitting out. Yep, we did 50. I did 50 sit-ups.
Okay.
I don't do sit-ups, so, like, it's a big deal. And then we were out on her balcony stretching and doing squats and stuff because we felt like it. And
was Shanti there?
Good. With
Shanti, the man who does all them workout videos.
Why
is it Shanti? Is it short for something?
I don't know. Maybe it makes it more marketable.
No clue. He's the light skinned dude, so they do what they want. So
you're silly.
You just gotta smack your teeth at Kwame.
Yeah. So I was thinking one other like random thing. Yeah, I was thinking about going to the movies because I really want to see Dawn of the Apes, and everyone has said that like it's absolutely amazing.
Yes,
and I really need to see Caesar in action. Have you seen it, Brianna?
No, I haven't been to the movies in, like, a year.
Have you seen it, Kwame?
No, I have not. I've heard good things about that.
Mm-hmm.
So
dang, you haven't been to the movies in a year. Mm-hmm. So you missed. Captain America and X-Men. Those were the last two that I saw that were amazing. And I did say this. I don't know if I said this here, but I did say that if I go to the movies and I see one more movie that's as phenomenal as Captain America and X-Men, it will restore my faith in Hollywood. And it looks like Dawn of the Apes is going to do that.
What about Avengers? Did you see Avengers in the theaters?
No, I didn't see Avengers in the theaters.
Avengers was incredible. X-Men? Was not what I expected
at all. X-Men was bomb. X-Men was bomb.
I don't know, right? I like the X-Men. I'm a big movie fan.
X-Men was so sick.
I expected more. I expected more action.
What were you expecting? Jesus to show up?
I was expecting pretty much.
Jesus was an X-Men. That's
maybe
what
he would have done some more fighting. Because they were missing a lot of it.
Really?
missing a lot. They're doing too much stories, traveling to Washington, D.C., and doing this. Come on, you're the X-Men. Blow something up and cut somebody's head off. That's
but
all I want.
Did you see that D.C. shot when they were like, come on, Kwame, you can't say that wasn't cold. When they were getting what's-his-name out. You can't say that wasn't cold.
The best part about the entire movie was when they had the fast man running in slow motion.
That was cool.
That was the best part about the entire action movie.
That was cool.
And that's sad because that was only about 3 minutes.
Then what's his name? I don't even want to give the movie out to everybody because y'all just gotta see it. X-Men. Cool.
Right, go check out X-Men.
Come to my house and watch Redbox.
Can't forget it. Yeah. Nah, but y'all gotta go see Planet of the Apes though.
I just seen that. Was Caesar cold though?
Caesar was cold. I'm telling y'all right now, there's gonna be some twist in there with Caesar. Mm. It's gonna be a thing about power with the apes and somebody trying to take his power, but I'm not gonna give out too much, you know. It's cold though, you know, it's a big twist. A lot of action in it. I thought it was better than the last one that they just made, which was last summer.
Right.
So it's kind of like a remake. That was last summer, but this one, I thought it was way
better. That's why I don't go to the movies. They make the same movie all the time. Every 3 months, it's the same movie.
When it comes to those type of movies, like X-Men, Planet of the Apes,
those
all
are
that stuff,
forever.
Those are like, yeah.
Yeah, they don't have to always going to be around. Yeah,
what you mean? You can't make just one and stop, like, oh, our best one ever. Like Batman? Come on now. The greatest Batman has been created, grossing over $150 million. Like, and that was just, what, the box office that it stole? Mm-hmm. Come on now. You can't top that one. I don't think they're going to be able to, especially since
passed away. They're going to make another one. Because that's what they do. They don't let these myths die.
True.
They're American mythologies, et cetera, et cetera.
I do want to see a black superhero, though.
They're supposed to be having
Hercules.
Captain America.
Hercules is black?
Hercules is the Rock.
Yeah, The Rock plays Hercules.
The Rock playing Hercules.
Rock
Dwayne
plays
Johnson.
Hercules?
Yeah, it just came out Friday.
I heard it was horrible, though.
Oh,
I've been listening to, reading about it because I want to go see it, but I've been checking the ratings, I've been checking the critiques, and they're saying
that,
yeah, I mean, not horrible, but been giving it a C minus and D.
No.
D plus.
You know, have y'all heard of the movie Dear White People? Ooh, yay! Okay, Dear White People is this kind of like this independent movie, indie film. It was shown at Sundance, and it's about it's kind of a critique about being a black face in an all white space. But I got to see like a preview of it back in May, and it's supposed to be released in October, like October 16th, October 17th, or something like that. But that's a pretty interesting movie. It's kind of like it tries to run in the vein of like Spike Lee, Do the Right Thing and Higher Learning, like that type of that type of voice and that type of narration and that type of kind of anger. It is interesting. There's some parts I think they could have did a better job of editing and pulling the story together. But
you saw it already?
I saw it, yeah. I saw it. Okay. They had a preview because they shot some of the stuff here at the U of M. And just there's a lot of people from Minneapolis that are extras in the film and like were involved in making the film. So
that's awesome. I haven't seen that.
That's what's up. Yep. Any big names in there?
No, that's the cool dude from who used to play Everybody Hates Chris, Tyler James.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's in there. Yeah, he's one of the lead characters.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. That is dope. Did you guys see in the previews, anyone that went to the movie, Deshaun, was Samuel L. Jackson in anything coming up?
To be honest, I missed the previews. Okay. I got a bad thing with previews.
I feel like every time I go to the movies, Samuel L. Jackson is in something coming out. That is one of the hardest working actors I think I know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's one of the highest paid anyway. He's in everything.
Yes.
And one thing I like about Samuel L. Jackson is the fact that he's completely himself and he still gets roles.
Every time.
That's one.
Same man.
That is crazy.
You're
still
right.
Gets roles. And I mean, he'll curse you out in real life and still get a role. Like, you know. But as you were saying, the film kind of mimics Spike Lee. Mm. I like Spike Lee. I respect Spike Lee as a director. But Spike Lee's stories are just too long-winded for me.
Yes, I can see that. Mm-hmm. Like, there's this one movie, I think it's called She's Gotta Have It. And there's a point in that movie where it's like a whole other movie starts. And I'm just like, wait.
Yeah.
Wait, come back. Wait, I have a whole other hour and a half? Wait. Yeah.
It's just too. Even the one with Jodie Foster, Denzel Washington.
Was that Red Eye? I don't know.
No, it was. It came out a couple of years ago.
No idea.
Yeah, it was a couple people in there. And it was like a hostage situation, and a bank, and some type of stuff. But even that was one of his like most popular movies that included a lot of ethnicities and things like that. And even with that, I felt like, well, this is a little, it's long-winded for me. But I do respect him as an artist.
You know what? I was watching, I caught the tail end of Malcolm X the other day. And that movie, that made me want to cry. I have a hard time crying sometimes, but that movie made me want to cry.
Yeah, Malcolm X was, that movie was dope. Yeah, even the book, the autobiography of Malcolm X, I haven't finished it yet. Mm-hmm. But it's a really, really, really good book. Malcolm X was a G. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the movie you were talking about was The Inside Man?
Yes, Inside Man.
Spike directed that?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That was his movie.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I saw that.
Yeah.
Nice job, Spike.
Yeah. Yeah. But even that, there was some points in there that I was just like, yo.
You know?
Doing too much?
Yeah, it was a little bit. Spike beat. I'll be with him. Mm. We'll be here. Mm. And like you said, and somewhere, somehow, we go somewhere else. And then you got to like rearrange your thought process.
I love Spike just because he wanted to be a part of fraternities and, you know, they didn't necessarily accept him in there. So he made movies about him. Sure. I respect it. And he was like, you know what? I'm still out here making money. So whether y'all want me to be a part of it or not, I'm going to be eating.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. So I know there's some upcoming events coming up. Brianna, what did you want to talk about?
Well, there's two things I wanted to mention. One, there's a barbecue happening today from 2 to 9 p.m. Behind Lost and Found. And myself and Sarah White are hosting it. And it's going to be music by Sophia Aris, Uprock. And then we're going to have a couple DJs, DJ Just Nine, DJ Bookabee, and more. There's going to be free food while supplies last. It's $15 at the door for basically 7 hours of performances, food, and a chill hangout space. So I'm excited for that. That's today from 2 to 9 p.m. And then there's also, exhibition at the Walker where it's showing black performance in contemporary art. I think that's what it's called. And it's running from, it opened on the 24th, so just this past week, and it's running until January 2015. But it's just exploring all different types of black contemporary artists from the 1960s to the present. And they have some performances happening today, starting at 1. And nothing in here says that you have to pay. So my understanding of this is that this is a free event, which I think is pretty dope. And I just want a quick shout out to The Walker. They've been bringing in a lot of black art lately. Like they had this kind of Afrofuturist black art exhibition a couple months ago. And now they have this radical presence in performance in black contemporary art. And I think that's dope. It's good for me as an artist to see that there is indeed like a legacy and a history of black art out there. So I'm not out here like, what am I doing? Like there's examples and there's people I can look up to. And there's people who have styles that are probably similar to mine or thinking on the same wavelength. So I'm excited to go see this exhibition. And I'm excited for this barbecue today.
Mm-hmm. Man, I had a barbecue yesterday. Man, I know I've been working out a lot, but I had to cheat my diet. I said, forget it. You know them ribs. Something about me and ribs. I can't. You know, I love them. Every time I see them.
That's real.
Right, it's real, man. Mm-hmm. So, trying to get back onto it though. You know, my diet.
Yeah, I've been kind of on and off with that, but yeah.
Women always are on and off with that diet. They have it. I think they have their diet when they're around their boyfriend. We're not eating red meat, so you need to put that down. What are you talking about? I ate some meat yesterday. Well, you're not eating it today. And that's when I have to leave and go outside, eat outside. Because I don't do that.
Gotcha.
I don't really do diet,
but like my working out, let's say I've been slipping on my working out a little bit. I need to get back on it.
That's why it's good to be around people that motivate you.
Mm-hmm. So you should definitely, I've learned that, you should have different people for each thing that you want to like succeed in. You got somebody that's like business wise savvy, you should hang out with them for business things because they're not necessarily going to be the party type of person. You should have your party friend to go party with. Mm-hmm. If you got a workout buddy, go with your workout buddy to go work out because they're not necessarily going to be the person who will study hard. Mm-hmm. So then you get your study buddy to study hard. You got to have different friends for each thing.
And that is something I've been preaching for a very long time. Stop sticking in one circle. Mm. Hang out with different people, different walks of life, and always hang out with somebody that's smarter than you. Don't hang out with somebody that's on the same level as you. Always hang out with people that are smarter than you.
Yes.
makes you want to be smarter.
Mm-hmm.
Good, positive, mm-hmm. positive peer role models.
Yeah, which definitely leads right into that. Always like not being in conformed to one circle, hanging out with people that are smarter than you and people that are going to bring nothing but positivity in your life, which transitions perfectly into our title for today. Being positive role models to your peers.
Mm.
Yeah.
People take that lightly. I think it's kind of hard to be positive. I mean, for a lot of people, it's difficult to be positive role models to your peers because I think with social media, with Facebook, with all these different things, people are living this facade. I think that's what people are in the mainstream mindset of living this facade, wanting to show that they're having this type of life and they're going to these parties and they're doing these different type of things. And people get quickly caught up into what they think people should think about them and hanging out with certain people and doing certain things. However, they're not being their true selves, and they're not also being role models to people that possibly look up to them because they're living this world of, I mean, it's just not reality.
Yeah.
It's just not reality. So I think for me, when I think of positive role models, especially in this day and age, I feel like a lot of people that could possibly be positive role models are not because they're so self-absorbed of themselves in an Instagram picture and what people are going to think and what they're drinking.
That's
and
real.
Where what spot they're hanging at.
Right.
So,
On the same note, I do see people using social media as an avenue to be a positive role model. So, like, I've been seeing a lot of my friends get challenged. There's, like, this selfie challenge or there's, like, this grown and sexy challenge where you have to post all these pictures of you dressing grown and sexy. And I think part of the purpose of that is to influence people to up their game, so they're not just dressing all bummy and dressing like you're from the hood, like dress like you're grown and sexy, like you have to present yourself to the world as a grown up, which is important. I think a lot of people miss that lesson. So seeing that motivation on Facebook is interesting. I've also seen like posts where it's like you talk for the next 7 days, tell me three things positive, post three positive things, and then you tag people who to do the challenge with you. Or I'm a writer, so what some of my writing friends do is like we do a 30-day writing challenge where we have to write something every day for 30 days and we post it on Facebook. I think it's interesting ways you can use social media however.
Yeah, I think that's a good point to use social media. And that you're right, I have seen a lot of positivity, but I've also seen a lot of negativity in terms of where people are – it's driven towards more, I mean, being more self-absorbed. And then there are people that do send those positive messages. But at what point do we go beyond social media, right? Because a lot of people, what's her name? Shonda Rhimes, the creator of Scandal, Grey's Anatomy, or whatever. Mm. She gave a speech at the school she graduated from. And she talked about, you know, being an act. I don't want to quote her, but, you know, going beyond a hashtag on a social media site for activism, you know, like mm-hmm. what can you do outside of that? Mm-hmm. So what are some things you think people can do that are pushing those positive messages on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, but outside of that, like in, I don't want to say the phrase, but in real life, how can we push those messages even further?
I think majority of those messages have to be followed by some type of icon or celebrity, because most people don't follow anything unless they have somebody that they idolize to follow suit. And a lot of our people, and I say people, I'll say African Americans who, you know, are within that light, don't necessarily I can't say they don't have a desire, but they don't contribute to the potential that could be brought out of our youth today. They just do what continues to make them money. And, you know, I understand that. Everybody got to eat. But they're not necessarily giving back to the community to make sure that kids are getting out of the slumps that they're in. Mm. That's just my point of view. So.
Deshaun, do you have anything to add to that?
Yes. I agree with you, Kwame. I feel like a lot of not just African Americans, but a lot of people, you know, in the world, they just, you know, don't really care. You know, they feel like all they care about is survival. You know, to go back to our other topics, they just, you know, worried about what they're doing and they're not thinking about being there for someone else or who's paying attention to them, what peer is looking at them and wanting to do the same thing, whether it's right or wrong. And I feel like it's too many followers in the world now. It's people who they only do things because their friends are doing it or they're not going to do it at all. And I guess sometimes that's a good thing. Like, I guess if you're in school and you're doing good, but you want to get even higher and you only want to do it because your friend, his GPA is higher, I guess that's a way of motivation to push yourself. But at the end of the day, if it's something else like a sport or just getting out, you know, just getting outside your comfort zone, you should want to do that on yourself. And we need folks to be more confident, you know, go to, I don't know, like somewhere that could speak and like just mentor some kids, volunteer, or just things like that. You know, you don't have to, you don't necessarily need anyone with you. If you do, there's always someone around, but, you know, you have to be, just take a chance.
I mean, I think that's, those are like very accurate points. But to kind of piggyback off of what you and Kwame said, why is it that we need a celebrity, right, to be an influence in this community? Because I kind of grew up, I mean, yeah, I admired people like Maya Angelou. I admired people like Angela Bassett, Cicely Tyson. I admired those type of people. But the reason I admired those type of people were because of the women I had in my life that kind of like mimicked those people as well. So in order for me to admire Angela Bassett, in order for me to admire Maya Angelou, I had to have some form of a Maya Angelou in my life, right? And that was my grandmother and my mother and my aunt. So I had those immediate people that were there that were more role models. I had my next door neighbor that was a role model. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I feel like we yearn so much for celebrities. And celebrities are in the game to make money. Like you said, to benefit themselves. Some use their celebrity to influence in a positive way. But why do you need a celebrity to influence you? Why can't Brianna just come up with some program and you show up because you understand that she cares about the community? Why do you need some type of superstar behind it? You know?
I do that and people show up when I host Food for Thought. So generally when I host events, but I think it's just because I've built a brand of just positive energy, positive events. And I think like with the celebrity mentality, it's unfortunate that it's unfortunate that we live in a society that has that mentality where we are like very focused on, but I think it's also where we're focused on celebrities and focused on icons to give us guidance. But I think it's also kind of, it symbolizes like the three faces of power. So like you have the face of power that is, you know, the face, the speaker, the person that's out in front. You have the person in the back that's like designing the whole event. You have the person that's like, you know, whose idea, who's pulling all the strings, whatever. But I think having a physical face, people attach to that. And I see people in my life, like I just, like Retro Reeves, that's his name on Twitter, but his name is Rashawn. Can't remember his last name right now, but I used to go to the University of Minnesota with him. And he's kind of a celebrity of sorts. Like he has a lot of Facebook friends, a lot of Twitter followers. A lot of people just feel good about him and they follow what he says. And I see him taking that intention and doing something positive with it. Like he's always talking about positive vibes today. He's always like giving little advice, like while speaking to issues that he sees in his community and trying to influence influence positive energy into his community. And that's just him being a local Minnesota person and Philly motivated by the fact that people look up to him as a leader, and recognizing that people look up to him as a leader and then wanting to give that back. But I think what Kwame was saying earlier, why do we not see that more maybe is because maybe we don't have as many people reinvesting, or we don't have people recognizing themselves as leaders, recognizing that people are following and looking up to what you do. Because everybody has, there's somebody in your life or in your community that you just think is just the bee's knees, like you just look up to, like you're incredible. Like that's how I know some people look up to Chris Styles like that. People look up to people at KMOJ like that, but we're really just regular everyday people working. And that's a celebrity is just really everyday person.
Celebrities transcend the capability of being real. They are, you don't scream when your aunt will you love so much and have grown up with, but is something, somebody that you respect and would love to, you know, emulate, but you don't scream when you run up and meet her. If Drake comes around, people scream. They start falling out, like, to meet him. Michael Jackson, the epitome of all hip-hop. When he walked into the room, they said he was, you know, not, don't, this is a quote, told, I'm not the blaspheme. They said him walking into the room was similar to Jesus. Said half of the audience would pass out, the other half of the audience would cry and kneel down. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. But they said that's how powerful his presence was.
That's what he means a lot to a lot of people. And I think to be a positive peer role model, I think you have to mean a lot to a lot of people, or like or recognize at least those that you mean something to, and then give back to those people in your life.
It's very hard for celebrities to give back.
Well, I'm talking about on a everyday person level. Like, what can we do as everyday people? That's what we could do. We can recognize who's looking up to us.
Yes. That's what we should do.
Yes. And the way we do that, number one, is through this show, right? Through this panel, based on certain things that we talk about. Enlightenment. There's this poem that I read, and I don't know if I should, like, do it now or wait for another show, but there's this poem that I did for school, Black History Month. Hmm. Okay.
Do it now.
And I honestly have no idea who wrote this poem, and you've probably heard it. It's been around the internet for years. And it's something that touched me then. It's something that touched me. It touches me now. And I think it's something that can definitely help a lot of young Black people. But I don't, like, a lot of young Black people that deal with the issues of peer pressure, of society, of things like that. So it's pretty lengthy, but I'm going to go ahead and read it, and then we can kind of discuss it.
Spit it.
And again, I did not write it. I mean, I wish I did. Boy, boy, I wish I wrote this, but I didn't. And it goes like this. Lord, why did you make me Black? Lord, Lord, why did you make me Black? Why did you make me someone the world wants to hold Black? Black is the color of dirty clothes, the color of grimy hands and feet. Black is the color of darkness, the color of tire-ridden streets. Why did you give me thick lips, a broad nose, and kinky hair? Why did you make me someone who receives the hatred stare? Black is the color of a bruised eye when someone gets hurt. Black is the color of darkness. Black is the color of dirt. How come my eyes are brown and not the color of daylight sky? Why do people think I'm useless? How come I feel so used? Why do some people see my skin and think I should be abused? Lord, I just don't understand. What is it about my skin? Why do some people want to hate me and not know the person within? Black is what people are listed when others want to keep them away. Black is the color of shadows cast. Black is the end of the day. Lord, you know my own people mistreat me, and I know this ain't right. They don't like my hair or the way I look. They say I'm too dark or too darn light. Lord, don't you think it's time for you to make a change? Why don't you redo your creation and make everyone the same? God answered, saying, why did I make you Black? You have the audacity to ask. I did not do it as a joke or as some cruel task. Get off your knees and look around. Tell me, what do you see? I didn't make you in the image of darkness. I made you in the likeness of me. I made you the color of coal from which beautiful diamonds are formed. I made you the color of oil, the black gold that keeps people warm. I made you from the rich, dark earth that grows the food you need. Your color's the same as the panther's, known for her beauty and speed. Your color's the same as the black stallion. A majestic animal is he. No, I didn't make you in the image of darkness. I made you in the likeness of me. All the colors of a heavenly rainbow can be found throughout every nation. And when all those colors are blended well, you became my greatest creation. Your hair is the texture of lamb's wool. Such a humble little creature is he. I am the shepherd who watches them. I am the one who will watch over thee. You are the color of midnight skies. I put the stars glitter in your eyes. There's a simple hidden behind your pain. That's the reason your cheeks are high. You are the color of dark clouds formed during my strongest winters in December. I made your lips full so when you kiss the one you love, they'll remember. Your stare is strong and your bone structure thick to withstand the burdens of time. The reflection you see in the mirror, the image looking back at you is mine. So in answer to all of your questions and to forgive you for all of your flack, these are the reasons I, the Lord, made you so beautiful and black.
Amen.
Okay, okay. I never heard that before.
It gives me chills.
Yeah, that made me feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It made me feel bad at first, but then it made me feel good.
Yeah. And I think those are all questions that we ask. And I think in the very first section of that poem, she talks about, for some reason, I always say she as the writer. I have no idea.
We'll say it's she.
Yeah. You know, but she talks about, you know, why? Like, why would you make me this color? Why would you have me go through all of these issues? Why would you make my own people mistreat me? Right. And for someone to come up with that profound way of an answer. That's
the truth,
man. Like, I don't know. Maybe that was a vision. Maybe those were God's words for sure. Like, I mean, the human mind to come up with that, you know. And when I think about being a role model, when I think about being there for someone, I think about this poem. You know what I'm saying? I saw a girl at a Valley Fair. She had the most beautiful dark skin. Mm-hmm. I mean, glistening. And I had to tell her, your skin is absolutely gorgeous, mm-hmm. you know, because I want her to know that. I don't know what she thinks. And I think that's important. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's how we everyday people can be there and support each other. But someone's calling, so let's take this call. KMOJ, go ahead. KMOJ, go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment, but I like the poem. That was really good. So I just wanted to say, you know, for God, he never makes a mistake.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. And I think that has a lot to do with, like what she said, God never makes a mistake, right? So us being peer, like being role models for people, you know, people look at these celebrities, they want to be these celebrities, they want to look like these celebrities. These celebrities don't even look like themselves, okay? You probably gonna walk by Heidi Klum in real life and not know she's Heidi Klum. When you think about all the Photoshop and everything that's taking place in magazines, right? So how do you appreciate who you are? And I think in order for us to start to appreciate who we are is through sharing poems like these, seeing that little girl and telling her skin is beautiful. What you're doing, Brianna, by having programs and doing these different type of things, but also touching on real life topics, right? Mm-hmm. Real life issues that are bothering people. That are harming people to want to look at all these other celebrities as a role model. Because I'm sorry. I love Lil Wayne, and Lord knows I love ratchet music, and I love Rick Ross, but Rick Ross will never be my role model.
Oh, definitely not.
You know? But there are some people that look at him as a role model, and that's when it gets scary.
That's sad.
When some people look at Jocelyn off of Love & Hip Hop as a role model. You know? So it's like we as a people... We as a collective group, we as young adults, we really are the change.
Yeah. I think our generation is unique. Our generation, meaning the quote-unquote millennials, whatever you want to call us. I don't know. But I think our generation is we're supposed to build, we're bridge builders. Between the older generation, we always talk about how there's a disconnect between the older generation and then, like, the younger folks now. And I think it's our generation's job because I've had conversations with a lot of different people who say that, like, our generation is, like, the last generation to really have parents that were involved in our lives and really trying to parent their children. And I can see, like, how if you don't have parents or if you don't have older adults, healthy adults in your community, because in the 80s was the big crack academic, that's like 30 years away, mm-hmm. 30 years ago. So now those 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, those are the elders in our communities, the people who are cracked out. So, yeah.
The crack epidemic was only 30 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got the babies. What I'm trying to say is that I think our generation is supposed to kind of bring forward that energy and that messaging that was so prominent in the 60s and the 70s. And I think we're supposed to be the ones to kind of reach back and pull that forward.
You got to find somebody to lead, though.
There's tons of leaders here. There are tons of leaders all around. And while we're talking about celebrities, I think we really do underestimate
the power that we have.
The power that we have as individuals, and then just how much your friends influence you. Like, I would not have done 50 sit-ups yesterday if my friends weren't doing 50 sit-ups. But I'm you know, like, I would not have done squats. I would not did any stretching. I wouldn't be going to New York next month if I didn't know people out there, if I didn't know that that was possible.
But you also have to have friends that are like-minded in that same route. You might have friends who want to go do 50 sit-ups, but they don't want to give back to their community. So when you have that in you to go and help the proliferation of African Americans, you might not have your friend who wants to do that. So therefore, you get a little bit discouraged because you don't have anybody to help support you in that endeavor. And it's always better to have somebody to back you up, even if it's just walking down the block. So
sometimes you got to go things alone, though.
I agree. I just feel like it's not enough, you know, people that are willing to go along, you know, like Brianna and several other people. You know, you feel like you need someone there with you. And a lot of people think that, you know, they have to be rich or, you know, very wealthy, or they have to be, you know, just somebody very intelligent to be a role model. But you don't necessarily have to, because you never know who's paying attention to your lifestyle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just follow God and continue. You know, I feel like anyone could be a role model.
That's such a great point. Like the janitor that gets up every single day and goes to work, right, and cleans up after you. That's right. A role model.
Working hard.
That's such a great point.
Yeah. Who have y'all seen in your personal lives that's influenced you? Or you would say, like, who around you has been a positive influence on your life and how?
Me right off the back, my parents. You know, my parents, they both work very hard. You know, there's been times to where they went unemployed. You know, in today's society, it's hard for them to find, you know, a job, but they never gave up, even when times was hard. You know, never gave up, went through filling out applications after applications, you know, not getting a job, but still putting food on the table. And then when you finally get that job, you know, still always able to provide for me. That's something I'm gonna remember and stick with forever. And, you know, do the same for my children, because a lot of kids in this generation, they don't know how to, you know, go through the struggle and still be positive and still, you know, be happy. They just give up and start trying to use this as an excuse to do things like kill or, you know, just, you know, drugs and stuff like that. And I feel like I'm not going to use that as a crutch. I'm still going to be successful, you know, telling my story now. So
what about people your age? Anybody your age?
Well, the friends that surround me, as Kwame and Julia and you were saying, I try to surround myself with people who want to be successful, you know. They might not do the same thing I do, you know, but, I mean, like, they may not want the same major as me, but they still want to go to college, and that's the goal for me, and they still want to be successful. So, you know, we're looking at ACT scores, we trying to compete with each other, but it's friendly competition, and at the end of the day, we're all trying to succeed, so... You know, people like that.
Those are the type of competitions you should have. Who's going to get the highest score on your ACT? Who's going to get the highest score on your GMAT? Those are competitions you should have, you know?
Yeah, so
that's like amazing.
GPA and grades and stuff like that. So then I'm in, like, leadership programs like National Honor Society and Beacon's leadership team, just stuff like that. So I don't know. I surround myself with different people. And, you know, I can still be cool with you if you don't do none of that. But, you know, it differs, you know?
I think your surroundings means a tremendous deal to your growth and success in life. Because you can be the smartest individual, you can be the most driven individual. And if you're surrounded by people that are not on your level or higher than you, like, they can influence your decisions to make you feel like you're crazy. Like, I know, no, seriously, I know a couple of people like that, that are just have all of the tools necessary to be a complete success. But because you come from a broken home with a mother and father that doesn't understand that, or you're surrounded by a friend circle that doesn't understand that, you find yourself making decisions that, like, you normally would not make if you were surrounded by people as intellectually stimulating as you, or people that were above you in terms of your, you know, in terms of you being intellectual. Because sometimes when you come from broken homes, like, you end up marrying exactly what you don't want, exactly what you grew up in.
Right.
And people around you will tell you that that's normal, right? Because
understand.
That's the mentality in which they have
perceive
grown up in.
Normalcy.
So, I mean, the people you surround yourself with, it's key to your success and growth. I don't care how smart, how intelligent, how successful you're going to be. You can have all the tools, but if you're surrounded by fools, you will end up making those decisions because they'll make you feel like you're crazy. Like, legitimately make you feel like you're crazy.
You'll be a really smart criminal.
Seriously.
I mean, and you know, that's how they rise. That's how every person in every facet becomes excellent at what they do.
Yeah.
The best, Nicky Barnes, you know, he was the best at what he did because he had people to teach him who were also the best at what they did.
Exactly.
So he could be the number one kingpin, you know, and you have people like Barack Obama who grew up with, you know, didn't have the most affluent individuals surrounding him, but he had people who knew how to get there.
Exactly.
So he can come and be the creme de la creme of African Americans. So,
yeah,
you know.
So if you're in a sorry to cut you off, Kwame.
No, go ahead.
But if you're like in a hole or you're like in a ditch or you're in a space where, let's say on my block, nobody's like that, or in my school maybe there's a few people like that, or like how do you find these spaces if you are the person that has all this potential? How do you recognize the potential within yourself, and then how do you put yourself into these spaces? Like what are some ways that y'all have?
You have to get out. If you are in that environment, and there are some people that are in their environment that don't even realize they're in that environment, and that have grown up, you know, as adults, and then they realize that. You just have to kind of like, when you sense some craziness, like, no, I'm not even trying to be funny.
Trust your intuition.
Like, this stuff don't make sense. Trust your intuition and be like, you know what? Maybe I should go hang out with the Asian that lives, you know, 10 blocks away from me. Or go join the French society. Or just kind of hang out with different people. Because you will know, like, this doesn't make sense. And then some people, you know, it doesn't make sense. Then you call your mama and she adds even more stupidity on top of it. And then you call your daddy and then he adds more stupidity on top of it. And still your instincts is like, something here isn't right, right? Trust that gut.
You have to
try to go out as much as possible.
Pray that you can be blessed with someone to believe you have the capability to achieve more than what you are doing. And I was fortunate enough to have a basketball coach, have a band teacher, which is rare, and my mom. And my, you know, the voices that ring in my head continuously is my coach, who never let me. I got my scholarship for basketball. So, you know, his voice is in my back of my head constantly. When I'm just playing now at the rec center and I want to just chill, I hear him in the back, Kwame, you better keep going. You sit down and you're going to run. You want to sit down? Then that's going to be another lap. So you can rest now, but you're going to pay for it later. And then, you know, I have my band teacher in the back of my brain telling me, you get what you practice. You get what you practice. So, you know, you have to have those people who are in your subconscious that motivate you. But, you know, they have to be positive motivators. Well, positive in the eyes of what we consider success.
Yeah.
Because you can have somebody telling you to do the wrong thing, and you can be real good at doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So.
Like, a prime example, Mike Tyson. I don't know if you guys have really followed Mike Tyson. I remember I saw this back history where he's doing this HBO, like, comedy thing. He's going from city to city to talk about his life. Extremely talented. And when I forgot the person that basically discovered him, when that man passed
Don
away.
King?
Not Don King.
Don King
was terrible. But it was a guy that, what was his name? Customato. That basically discovered him. And once he passed away, that was the end of Mike Tyson. And he talks about that a lot. And then he kind of like let all these different people come into his life that Don King was not a positive influence on Mike Tyson. Anybody can see that. I mean.
I don't know nothing about that history.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole nother level.
You don't know about Don.
But.
I know Don brought Muhammad Ali to Africa. Like,
yeah.
I know that.
He set that fight up. But.
Yeah. So it's like, that's one person that had potential beyond potential beyond potential, but because of the company in which he was in,
company you keep.
Wrecked, right? I mean, we can talk about a lot of athletes, same thing.
So
Rick James.
I have a question then, because I felt a couple years ago like I was going through like this transformation. I was becoming more politicized, more radicalized in terms of like just how I thought about the world and really trying to open up and learn new things. And I felt like there was nobody around me on my level, and I didn't know where to go. This is why I was asking, like, where do you go? Where do you go? What do you do? Mm-hmm. I didn't know what to do. I mean, how long? Because I felt like, well, okay, I had a conversation with my friend Ezzy, and I was telling her, like, I don't go to these events because nobody wants to come with me. She's like, why do people have to come with you?
Yeah.
Why do people have to come with you? I was like, exactly. I don't want to be by
That's
myself.
That motivating
like,
factor I was talking about.
I was scared to be alone. But then, like, since that conversation, it's been like three and a half years, I've been just out here just doing things by myself, you know.
That's real.
But I need a team. I can't do everything by myself.
But that's what you said.
What you just said is key, right? You started doing things by yourself. Mm-hmm. And when you started doing things by yourself, you started attracting people that think like you.
Yep.
That's what we're afraid of. Simple things like going to the movies by yourself, people don't want to do. I started literally going to the movies by myself, having dinner by myself, going shopping by myself, because I'm just like, I need to understand who Julia is, what Julia wants. How can Julia function by herself, right? And then you start to attract the type of people that think like you, that want to do things like you. Mm-hmm. And when you started to do that, you may not think you have a team, but I mean, you're always inviting somebody here. So you have, there's a lot of people that rock with you. You know what I'm saying? And that's key. Don't be afraid to be yourself. Don't be afraid to be by yourself. And when you have, and you will have, I'm sorry to say this, especially in the African-American community, because of the crack epidemics, because the fathers went to jail, because we lost all of those different things, our immediate families may not be the best influences on what it is we should and should not do.
True.
You may shoot me now, but they may not be the best influences on that.
Right.
And you have to be able to recognize that. Hallelujah. And work on yourself and attract people that will think like you, because your mama and daddy may not.
Well,
you do most definitely. And like, I don't know, me, I'm starting to figure that out, you know, now a little bit. You know, I remember back then I used to be like, dang, I don't got nobody to do this, do that. Mm-hmm. And then I start like, sometime I'm like, you get more things accomplished when you're on your own, even when you're in a library, just, you know, studying for that homework assignment. You don't necessarily need someone with you, or just going to a movie, or, you know, going to the mall just to have a good time. You can please yourself. And as you're doing that, it's like self-love. And then as you start to, you know, branch off and do your own thing, not necessarily forget about people, they start to, I don't know, want to come and hang out with you. Like,
magnet.
Oh, right, he having fun. Look at him. He's doing this and that, you know. They see a different image towards you. And it's like, you may think you're alone. I know everyone's not spiritual, but me, I'm like, all right, I'm always with God. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's how I feel.
I just, when I think about this in my head, like, well, I'm always by myself. I'm always doing things by myself. I think about this quote, and it's like some African quote, vaguely African. But it's, if you want to go fast, go by yourself. If you want to go far, go together. So I think about that. I want to go far. You know what I mean?
And you will attract those people because you've already practiced the method of being by yourself. Right. You know what I'm saying? Those people will. It's life. I know it sounds crazy.
That's
and I mean, it used to seem like some type of like saying or whatever. But that's very true. I mean, like we talked about last week, you can be strong by yourself. But I mean, it's always good to have people with you.
Right.
It's a lot easier.
It's like
like-minded people with you.
Yeah. And I'm saying, take a leap of faith.
Exactly. And once you kind of have that mentality, you will draw those people to you. It's almost like the whole saying. I mean, the Bible, death is in the, you know, mouth of, I mean, power, life, whatever the saying is in the power of the tongue, right? And then you have the saying, whatever you put out there in positive energy, and all those things are still the same thing. So if you kind of, if you're presenting yourself a certain way in the world, you're going to attract that type of,
I
know.
Think, therefore I am.
Yes, yeah. There you go.
You know what else I noticed, though, on this journey alone out here in the wilderness that is Minnesota, that's not really nothing. I need to get out of here. But people, while you're out there traveling and while you're out there trying to explore yourself, it can kind of look like you're lost. And people will see you and be like, this kid don't know where you're going. They'll try to. Because you're out there alone, and you want to. I want to attract people, but you got to be careful of the people that you attract. Because some people will come up to you and they think you're lost, or they'll see you lost or off your path, and they'll try to bring you farther off. Mm-hmm. Like one day, I was sitting outside the Minnesota African, I think it's called Minnesota African American Museum over off of 3rd.
Yep, right by my crib.
Mm-hmm. And I was just sitting there. I was sitting there because. Miss Lissa, she was telling me that this is one of the few places where Black people own land in the state of Minnesota. She's like, this is your land, so I can come and sit here anytime I want to. So that, I was taking advantage of that. And somebody came down the alley, and they're like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. They're like, oh, well, they kind of was trying to chat me up. And then he's like, well, I'm about to go watch movies and eat at my house if you want to come with me. And I was just like, no, thank you. But if I had been really a lost soul, if I had really been lost, or if I was really like searching or on a level where I wasn't quite sure where I wanted to be anymore, I may have followed that person, and that might have taken me somewhere, you know, somewhere scary.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't mean to end it really short, but we have like 2 minutes left. So just to wrap up what she just said very quickly, that makes sense. But once you have a strong sense of self, once you start to do those things by yourself and you try to understand what yourself is, like, you always can go with your instincts and your intuitions to know when someone's leading you on the right path and when they're leading you on the wrong path. But to be able to form that type of relationship with God and have that type of intuition where you will be able to tell, something just won't sit right. And every time something has not sat right with me, Lord Jesus, has it come true. So, you know, just kind of trust yourself, be by yourself. Let's be a motivation for all of our peers. And we'll definitely talk about this more. I just looked at the time and it was 2 minutes. So we're just going to have to wrap it up really quickly. Kwame, you have anything else to say before we go?
Today was really deep. Really, really deep. So thank you all.
I like that. Dijon?
Thanks, everybody, for listening. It was a great show. Don't be afraid to go out and do stuff on your own. And, you know, someone looks up to you wherever you are. Someone looks up to you. So take care.
Yep, true. That's so true. Come see me at Behind Lost and Found on 25th and Nicollet from 2 to 9 p.m. Days like these, or days like this, barbecue and music.
All right. And I mean, if you're ever feeling down, no matter what aspect of your life, whether it's career, whether it's whatever, read that poem, Lord, Why Did You Make Me Black? And answer so many questions. Until then, we'll see you guys later. Have an awesome, awesome, awesome Sunday.
Peace.
See you next week.
KMOJ, Minneapolis-St. Paul, bringing unity to the community.